The Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. God, one of your greatest gifts to us is Scripture. The Bible's been verified like no other book on earth. A week ago, more verification took place when Israeli researchers unveiled two newly discovered Dead Sea Scroll fragments dating back nearly 2,000 years. God, by bringing these fragments to light now, do you want us to pay special attention to them? One text comes from Nahum. Nahum wrote powerful words about you, God. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, the earth heaves before him, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, like rocks are broken into pieces by him. And remarkably, in your providence, the Israeli researchers did not find the next verse, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him." God, help us pay attention to what you're doing among us and live to please you. I humbly pray in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll. See, Senator McGilvery and Senator Heinbaugh are both online. Senator Gross. Senator Conower, I don't see Senator Gross online. Would you like us to excuse her until she... Okay.
Mr. President, I don't have her online at this moment.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Gross is excused.
A quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce a couple gentlemen in the gallery representing one of our great agricultural trading partners.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. President, members of the body, today we're lucky to have with us from the Economic Office of Cultural Exchange in Seattle, representing Taipei. In Taiwan, we have Vice Counsel Ting Chen and Vice Director General Daniel Chen with us today. So,
welcome to the Senate. Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President, just like a point of special privilege. Today is Ag Day. Agriculture is the start of our nation. It's what if any of you ate today, you ate from ag. We've been good stewards of the land, and I want to commend all the ag producers in the state and the nation for making us give us the food that we have, give us the tax base that we have. We've come a long way since the pioneer days of the wagons coming to Montana. Yet some of that virtue of agriculture is still within every one of us at some point or another. We've listened and we've taken away urban sprawl. It takes away our most productive lands. Yet agriculture has competed and gives us more food than any other place in the world. We have many problems in the United States, or challenges, but one of the biggest, we've never been hungry, as you can attest by the way I look. But countries that have been hungry, and our ancestors that were hungry, knew that agriculture was a very important thing. And they can do whatever they want, but when they take away our food and we lose that part of it, things will start to happen in a different manner. But I appreciate and I want to congratulate everybody that's involved in agriculture and have a great day.
Thank you, Senator Lang. Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Might be off and out for an introduction, please.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, up here in the gallery today, we have the Montana Youth Challenge Academy. Some of the cadets, there's some others over in the house, but the ones that made the trek to Helena today to hear, and many of you come into 303 over the lunch hour, but I know your challenge is something that has that is supported well by this body, and I appreciate that. As something that is housed in my district, I appreciate that. In fact, to the point where I think others have wanted to maybe take it to their district sometimes, and to that I say, leave your paws off, huge challenge. But anyway, please, Mr. President, welcome the Youth Challenge cadets and their leadership and their and this staff to the Senate, please.
Welcome to the Senate. Thank you. Without objection, we'll go to our business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed to Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs. Report that House Bill 249 to be concurred in and that the House Bill 63 and 614 be concurred in as amended. Mr. President, we are committed to Education and Cultural Resources. Report that Senate Resolution 84 be adopted, that House Bill 67, 233, 246, 543, and 611 be concurred in, and that House Bill 179 be concurred in as amended. Senator Daniel Solomon, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Finance and Claims. Report that Senate Bill 176 and 263 do pass. Senator Ryan Osmondson, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Judiciary. Report that House Bills 393 be concurred in. That Senate Bill 115, 331, 333, and 478 be concurred in as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Public Health, Welfare, and Safety. Report that House Bills 155 and 291 be concurred in. That House Bill 231 and 416 be concurred in as amended. Senator David Highwood, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed to State Administration. Report that House Bill 31 be concurred in. Senator Doug Carey, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go to our business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the following House bills were on this day. Read three civil times and passed, title and history greet you, and they hereby transmitted to the Senate for concurrence, House Bill 630 BD. That the following Senate bills were on this day were three civil times concurred in, title and history agreed to, and they are herewith returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 60 Flower, Senate Bill 120S, Senate Bill 131 Solomon, Senate Bill 145 Fitzpatrick, Senate Bill 161 S film, Senate Bill 221 Gothier, Senate Bill 305 Lang, Senate Bill 339 Pomnikowski. Sincerely, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House, that is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 389 to 392 and House Bill 630 have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into committee of whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
For the motion, Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes have it. I appoint Senator Regeer, Chairman of the day.
Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 153. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 153, introduced by Wellborn, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to the administration of lands and waters owned or controlled by the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, requiring two state parks and recreation board members to be business owners, revising requirements for construction, project, and budget approval, requiring purchase of a wildlife conservation license for certain land use and decreasing its price, amending sections, and providing effective dates.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 153. What is your pleasure, Senator Wellborn?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration Senate Bill number 153, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 153. Seeks to do two things. Number one, it changes the complexion of the board, the Parks Board, by just a little bit. It actually puts in code that members of the Parks Board, one of them has to be a member of the business, or two of them have to be members of the business community, one with an emphasis on the outdoor recreation industry. Number two, what this seeks to do is it creates a provision to where anybody using, accessing non-consumptive users, we'll call them, of our rivers and streams outside of hunters and anglers would have to have a conservation license to access. What's going on now is these non-consumptive users are loving our rivers and streams to death, which is a good thing. I'm the first to recognize that, but they put a lot of pressure on the resource that hunters and anglers are paying for the upkeep on, so this is an equity bill. But if you look at that, it brings everybody into the fold to have some skin in the game, but it actually reduces the rest of us by a little bit what we're paying for ours now, because it will seek to, or what it would do is it would still raise an adequate amount of money to take care of the resource, but it also levels it out to where the rest of us aren't paying a little bit, I think is the icing on the cake, or the little bit of a bonus there. So I will sit down and stand for any questions.
Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 153, signed Senator Brown.
What is your pleasure, Senator Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to amend Senate Bill 153 with amendment number SB01530020001. And ask that it be posted and deemed read.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this amendment does, if you look on page 32 of the bill, what this does is we'll start with line 25. There was some folks in committee that and I kind of understand, they thought it kind of just read a little bit funny. So we changed the way that read. It's really to a conservation would be license would be needed in everywhere except for state parks. Is really what that does. And then, in the past, I've always been opposed to bills such as this, and that's why I bring this amendment. My concern was always about families, young families, people that maybe don't have the money to buy all their kids a conservation license to get down to the river to get in the water a little bit. So that has always been my concern on these. So what this does is it exempts out anybody that is under 17 years of age. So if a single mother wants to take her kids down to the boat ramp to get in the water a little bit during a hot summer, she's able to do that with just herself having a conservation license. My fear was always that we would be pushing people that couldn't afford to be there out of these places, and then we'd have them parked along the road. Putting them in a dangerous position or in a dangerous spot on a river or something like that. So with that, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? Senator Konauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a good amendment. I hope the body will support the amendment and support the bill, Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown, would you care to close on your amendment? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Brown that Senate Bill 153 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote. Senator Heimbaugh.
Mr. Chair, we're having some issues online too, so.
Just go without.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 48 senators voting aye, the amendment has passed. Are there further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Wellborn has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Wellborn that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 153, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote. Thank you.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 49 senators voting aye and one senator voting nay.
With 49 senators voting aye and one voting no, Senate Bill 153 has passed. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 87. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SR 87, introduced by Lang, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointments to the Board of Livestock made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 14, 2021.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 87. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the nomination transmitted by the Governor of Montana be concurred in and confirmed in the Senate in accordance with Resolution 87. This is a resolution to confirm two people to the appointment to the Livestock Board. These two gentlemen are astute Montanans. Mr. Fettes is a young man from Belgrade, Montana. Comes from a livestock background, whether it's owning a meat cutting facility, producing commercial and registered cattle. Very excited about where he on his board. A very organized guy that wants to bring his ability to the board and work with the fellow board members. Mr. Greg Wichman, out of Hildreth, Montana. Mr. Wichman has been involved in the sheep industry, and since he was a young man in 4-H, been very involved with the president of the Montana Wool Growers in the past, very involved with that organization and the production of wool and sheep in the state of Montana, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Lang, would you care to close?
Yes, I and the Governor of Montana would love to have these two people nominated to this board on this great Ag Day. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 87, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, with Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and zero senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, Senate Resolution 87 has been adopted. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 89. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SR 89, introduced by Lang, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointment to the Board of Hail Insurance made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 14, 2021 to the Senate.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 87. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the nomination transmitted by the Governor of Montana be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Resolution 89, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Again, this is another confirmation wishing to be conferred. We had a very good hearing. This young man, Mr. Vince Matson, is from Chester, Montana. He's a constituent of the senator to my right. The family has been involved in the ag business for many, many years, and we appreciate his willingness. He's been president of the Montana Grain Growers. He's been on the NOG, National Wheat Commission, and we appreciate him stepping up to put his input into the Hale Board, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Temple.
Yes, I've been involved with his family for, Mr. Chair, for the last three generations, and so I would be negligent if I didn't get up and stand for him. So thank you.
Seeing no one else, Senator Lang, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The hail board is one of the challenges of Montana agriculture. There's not a farmer rancher out there that wants hail. But this board is purview to discuss what the rates will be paid by the farmer for hail. We wish them luck, and I hope they don't have any sales that they have to pay for hail damage in Montana next year. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 89, it recommends the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators having voted aye, Senate Resolution 89 has been adopted. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 139. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 139, introduced by Welch, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Death Certificate Fees and Providing for Their Use as a Funding Source of the Board of Funeral Service, requiring the Board to report to the Economic Affairs Intern Committee, providing rulemaking authority, amending sections, and providing effective dates.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 139. What is your pleasure, Senator Gillespie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 139, that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gillespie.
Oh. Get my right papers here. Mr. Chair. There's a hole in funding for the Board of Funeral Services, but it's a kind of a simple, easy fix. But a bit of a history, Montana legislature passed a $2 assessment fee back in 2015 with bipartisan support. The assessment was removed in 2017 after the bill to extend it failed on the governor's desk. That was a year when money was really, really short, as I recall. So I'm sure that's contributed to that. But since then, the board has consistently run in the red and hasn't been functioning like it should. House Bill 139 fixes that with a $2 assessment placed back on there. With that $2 assessment, and then there's another half of that is matching fees, and this would raise the cost of a death certificate from $5 to $7. So with that, we just need this little bit of a fix to keep things in the black instead of the red, and the industry conducting itself in a professional and ethical way. House Bill 139 is the way to do that. Suggest a green vote. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Gillespie, would you like to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Gillespie that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 139, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 47 senators voting aye and 3 senators voting nay.
With 47 senators having voted aye and 3 voting no, House Bill 139 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 226. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 226, introduced by Zolnikov, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising alcohol laws to allow curbside pickup, authorizing certain licensees and liquor store agents to offer curbside pickup to customers, providing requirements for curbside pickup, providing exceptions for dock sales, providing hours for curbside pickup, providing definitions, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to history in title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 20.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 226. What is your pleasure, Senator Ellsworth?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 226, it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 226 is a bill that legalizes the sale of alcohol through to-go orders or curbside pickup. This was granted as an emergency power in March of 2020 during the Bullock administration. 2020 was a hard year for many businesses in the food and beverage industry, and the passage of HB 266 would provide another revenue stream to help aid the financial recovery. Many businesses relied heavily on the sale of to-go items to keep them afloat during the last year. House Bill 266 has the full support of the Alcohol and Beverage Coalition, and there were no opponents in the House or the Senate. It was passed the House with broad bipartisan support, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I just need to disclose that I own a company and I have a financial interest in that, and I own five off-premise retail beer and wine licenses.
Seeing no other discussion, Senator Ellsworth, would you care to close on your bill? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 226, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 39 senators voting aye and 11 senators voting nay.
With 39 senators voting aye and 11 voting no, House Bill 226 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 446. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 446, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled an act defining prosthetic device or prosthesis for workers' compensation insurance, providing that a prosthetic device or prosthesis is an artificial substitute for a missing body part, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 446. What is your pleasure, Senator Gillespie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 446, that it recommend that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gillespie.
Yeah, this is something that they've been working on. It relates with workman's comp and how everything gets put together to take care of the people that need the help. But just in summary here, simply put, if we want to change the meaning within something with our laws, the proposal should go through the rigors of a legislative review. House Bill 449 stabilizes the existing law by codifying the current definition as it is laid out. In passing this bill, we are assuring ourselves that should we want to consider changing the definition, we will have that opportunity to do so through the legislative process. But this puts us on the right path in the meantime. So with that, I'll recommend a green light.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak to the bill.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I stand in opposition of House Bill 446. If you look on page 5, line 4, this is in definitions. It defines prosthetic device or prosthesis means an artificial substitute for a missing body part. The problem with this definition as currently written in House Bill 446 is that it leaves out artificially implanted prosthetic devices such as screws or plates, mesh, cages, rods that could break and need to be replaced, as well as they also have hearing aids and corrective lenses included in that as well. These prosthetic screws or plates or their meshes are not a substitute for a missing body part. They support an existing body part and are not covered under this definition. Currently, they are covered. You might ask, why does this definition matter? Well, here's why. Medical benefits terminate 60 months after the date of an injury. Within 5 years from that date of medical closure, an injured worker may request reopening of medical benefits if it is related to the injury and is necessary to keep the injured worker working or return to work. If granted, the petition keeps medical benefits open for 2 years. But right now in law, the closure of medical benefits and petitions to reopen does not affect or apply to prosthetic devices that are now covered, which I mentioned earlier. If one of these devices break and needs to be replaced, it will be replaced regardless of whether the medical benefits are closed or whether the injured worker is retired. This bill will make a significant change and will have horrible impact on our retirees or those who are just past the date of their medical benefits closing. It will also impact someone who may have changed jobs and a few months down the road, one of these devices fails. Because of the bill, these prosthetic devices will not be covered if they should break or have to be replaced. So pretty much you're on your own. Workers' comp is not going to pay for them. I would just like to relate a couple incidents that were brought up during the committee meetings. One gentleman who was a farmer was injured in a farming accident while working, and he lost his right eye and had a severe laceration of the cornea of his left eye. He needs to have specialized corrective lenses just to allow him to be able to see. This will affect him for the rest of his life because he will not be able to have the implants that he needs for his eyes to be able to see. They just won't cover it anymore. So under this bill, the lens will not be covered any longer. And the last one I'll bring up is another client had a metal cage placed in his back to support a fusion he underwent due to workplace injury. After medical benefits closed on his claim, the cage broke and needed to be replaced and removed. State Fund denied the claim, stating medical benefits were closed and the metal cage that they were responsible for implanting was not a prosthetic device and they did not have to pay to fix it. He did not have any other insurance, and the same would be true if any of you that have a plate or a screw in your ankle or your wrist. There are many cases like this that are going to happen if this bill passes. Members, I urge you, do not pass on House Bill 446, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, so we actually dealt with this in the interim, and what we found was departments coming in and trying to redefine what a prosthetic device was. And at the end of the day, it is our job here in the legislature to do the will of the people, to make sure that things are covered as they should be covered. It's certainly not a department's job to come in during an interim and try to change existing law and define law. Again, this was one of the issues we had in the interim. We dealt with it here with legislation. I asked for a due pass. Certainly, if the good senator wishes to make further definitions, then it should be brought by law so that we can answer these problems and define them. Mr. Chair.
Seeing no other questions, Senator Gillespie, would you care to close?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And this does kind of ring true to me because it's a lot of years ago, I won't say how many, but quite a while ago, something similar to this did happen to my father. Cow kicked him over and broke his leg, not once, but twice. Anyway, long story short, he ended up with a rod in his leg to try to stabilize it, and all was well until maybe about a year later or so, the screws started coming out. So, and he had to go back in for a third operation. So I truly admit, stuff like this does happen, and we do need to be mindful of that. Now, this is a workman's comp deal. It isn't general insurance, but workman's comp. So they did assure me that, you know, as long as you are on the job and under workman's comp, you know, they will take care of those kind of situations, because I specifically asked him about that. So I did ask him if he still had to be milking cows so many years later. You might want to give it up. But anyway, as long as you're working, as long as you're under workman's comp, they did assure me that things like this would be taken care of. So, and like I say, there are other pathways too that can always be addressed in the future. So if the body deems necessary. So with that, I still urge a green light. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Gillespie that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 446, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Voting aye, opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 29 senators voting aye and 21 senators voting nay.
With 29 senators voting aye and 21 voting nay, House Bill 446 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 195. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 195, introduced by Ricky, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Claims History Information that an insurer may consider in transacting residential property insurance policies, limiting the period for which adverse claims history may be used in issuing, renewing, or rating residential property insurance, allowing a discount based on favorable aspects of the insured's claims history, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 195. What is your pleasure, Senator Gauthier?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 195, I recommend it be concurred in.
Senator Gauthier.
This bill comes from the Commissioners of Securities and Insurance. And the description of House Bill 195 limits insurance companies from reviewing claims history of an insurer for claims older than 7 years on a homeowner's policy. Did you know when you buy a house that an insurer also reviews the claims history of the property in addition to your personal history when issuing a homeowner's insurance policy? The standard practice of an insurer is to review the CLU report for a property when issuing and renewing homeowners insurance policy. Then CLU stands for Comprehensive Loss Underwriting Exchange. And report discloses any insurance claims made under the policyholder for the previous 7 years. Some insurers are starting to go beyond the CLU report and reviewing older claims history in order to deny, cancel, or non-renew coverage. For example, in the 2-year span, over 5,000 Yellowstone County homeowners had their insurance policies canceled or non-renewed by a single insurance company due to multiple claims, which included claims more than 7 years old. And that was just an example of going back and looking at your history of your house, and if you had hail damage of like 10, 12 years ago, they're using that when it was time to rewrite an insurance policy, which is absolutely wrong. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand by for questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Gauthier would care to close. He has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Gauthier that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 195, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote. Senator Lynch.
Senator Lynch has his thumbs up, Mr. Chair.
Gotcha.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 195 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 379. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 379, introduced by Vinton, a bill for an act entitled an act declaring the use of actuarial tables based on sex or marital status to be a non-discriminatory approach to setting insurance premium rates, except as prohibited by federal law, amending section and providing an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 379. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 379, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a bill I think that many of you have seen over the years, at least since I've been here. What this does is it eliminates the unisex requirement for insurance policies when they're sold in the state of Montana. Montana is the only state in the country that uses this particular type of requirement for insurance sold in our state. And what it does is it drives up insurance costs, and actually primarily it drives them up for women. Statistically, the evidence shows that men generally are involved in more automobile accidents, particularly between the ages of 18 and 35. And of course, the statistics also show that men have shorter lifespans than women, and that results in higher life insurance costs for men and higher auto insurance costs. And what happens under our unisex rating is that one of two things happens. They calculate the rate for men and women, and then they just basically raise the rate up for women to match that of men in many circumstances, or they use a blended rate, which favors the higher cost insurance. So what this bill does is it should bring down the cost of insurance, particularly for women drivers and in the area of life insurance. This has very strong support across the insurance industry. We heard some testimony in committee about how people move here from out of state and they pay substantially higher rates for insurance. I think at the end of the day, this is really a cost of living issue. If we can reduce the price of insurance for people, I think we will make Montana a little bit better place to live. So with that, I'd ask for your support.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Bolin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak to the bill.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I oppose House Bill 379, allowing automobile rates to be determined on gender bias and marital status. Treating individuals differently based on group characteristics such as race and gender is discriminatory. There are no legitimate reasons for an insurance company to consider gender in setting rates for insurance, just as there are no legitimate reasons for an insurance company to consider race, color, religion, or marital status. Article 2, Section 4 of the Montana Constitution protects against gender discrimination. This bill will allow for discrimination in these certain instances. For over 30 plus years, the majority of Republicans and Democrats in the legislature, in the governor's office, as well as the commissioners of the state auditor's office from both parties have opposed using gender or marital status to set rates. These rates should be based on factors within the driver's control rather than personal characteristics or marital status. Rates should be considered on some of the following factors: how long you've been driving, did you take driver's ed or a driving class for seniors, how many miles you drive a year, your car make or model, any accident reports or speeding tickets you may have, are there multiple drivers of cars, and where you live is another issue. These things are in control of the drivers. On the marital status side, married couples are considered more financially stable and therefore are safer drivers. If this bill passes, will their premiums now drop because they are married? And what happens after being married for years and your spouse dies? Will your rates go up because you are now a widow? And are you considered not married? Or what if you were to get a divorce? Should the rates automatically go up for these folks? You know, not all single drivers are bad drivers or financially unstable. Let their driving records speak for the safety issues behind the wheels. This shouldn't even be considered just because it can be used in other states. Montana is not the only state that do not discriminate against gender when purchasing auto insurance. Other states are following what Montana has done for years. Michigan passed legislation against gender bias in July 2020, California in 2019. Other states that have done so are Hawaii, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, according to the Consumer Federation of America. There are numerous other factors that are used to determine fair rates for auto insurance. However, gender, race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation are beyond your control and is not fair or even an effective way to predict risk. In closing, by passing this bill, you will be giving the insurance companies two more reasons to raise your rates. No wonder the only people who came in favor of this bill were in the insurance company. I urge it do not pass. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, speak to the bill. Mr. Chairman and members of the body, I rise to oppose House Bill 379 in the strongest possible terms. For nearly 40 years, Montana has prohibited discrimination based on factors of sex or marital status in all forms of insurance. Regardless what you hear about the debate of the importance of actuarial differences in life expectancy between men and women, or that married people are more stable and better drivers than those who are single or divorced and can be charged differently, this bill is not actually about rate setting and insurance. It is about one thing, and that is about discrimination. Is prohibiting discrimination a core part of our Montana value system or not? Is it constitutional to discriminate against groups of people simply because there are, in fact, some differences? Yes, there are actuarial differences in some risk factors, not only between sexes, but also between individuals of different races and religions. For example, I have no doubt that people of the LDS faith live longer, have fewer car accidents due to their healthier lifestyle and prohibition on drinking alcohol, but we do not permit religious rate setting and insurance. Another example, our Native American brothers and sisters have a significantly shorter lifespan and a number of higher significant health factors. Yet, would we allow rate setting permitted on race? I don't think so. We know it is socially repugnant to allow different insurance rates or benefits on the grounds of race or religion. The Montana Constitution makes it perfectly clear that there is no difference between the prohibition on setting insurance rates and benefits based on race or religion and the same prohibition applied to gender. Let's look at the Montana Constitution, so often quoted by this body. Article 2, this is in the Declaration of Rights section. Section 4, individual dignity. No person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws, neither the state nor any person, firm, corporation, or institution shall discriminate against any person in the exercise of his civil or political rights on account of race, color, sex, culture, social origin or condition, or political or religious ideas. HB 379 is likely unconstitutional precisely because of Article 2. The Montana Constitution is unique among states because it applies not only to state actions, but to actions in the private sector. This was expressed by CONCON delegate and attorney Wade DeHood, and you can look it up in the CONCON proceedings, where they were very clear that this prohibition in this section applies to matters of quasi-public nature, such as employment, housing, public accommodations, finance and credit, and insurance. You know, I was serious when I swore to protect and defend the Constitution in our oath of office. All of the Constitution, even the parts that I personally struggle with. We don't get to cherry pick which parts of the Constitution we will protect and defend. All of the Constitution. All of the Constitution, not just the Second Amendment. Please uphold your oath of office and stand for prohibiting discrimination based on gender or marital status. Please vote no and keep this law in place after 40 years. Thank you.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have some experience on this type of legislation, as I did sell insurance for nearly 30 years. And I got to tell you that the laws that exist today does discriminate against women. I never had a female client come into my office and said, I'm a woman, raise my insurance rates and fight for that. They came in and said, why are my rates higher in Montana than they would be in Wyoming? And they argued that way. So if you think you're helping women by voting no on this bill, you're sadly mistaken, because all the women I ever ran into in my practice always were frustrated with this type of legislation, that Montana is the only state that does this. So I really think it's the opposite of what you've been hearing, that these unisex rates discriminate against women. So if you want to stop discriminating against women and stop charging them higher premiums because they're women, then if you want to stop that, vote green on this bill.
Senator Morgeau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess, members of the body, I don't think I've ever met a man that says he wants higher insurance rates either. So I think that's a red herring conversation we just heard. This bill takes us back 35 plus years in Montana. And I'm sorry, I'm still waiting to see all the consumer protection bills for Montanans come to this body. I'm still waiting to see them. So I guess I would ask, do we really think that insurance companies are going to take a loss in providing cheaper insurance to one gender or to a married couple? Right now, auto insurance companies can use all sorts of indicators to come up with your auto insurance rates. These are all things that are within your control, which gender is not. That's outside of your control. So, for example, geographical location, age, years of driving experience, driving record, claims history, credit history. These are all things that insurance companies do take into account right now. So, I guess, why should any individual be rated on their gender, marital status, or even race, which I'm concerned about with this bill opening Pandora's box, when you can use a ton of other more accurate indicators to determine our rates already in Montana? And I'm gonna blow your mind right here. All these same indicators that are already in use today will just be used to identify which gender gets a discount. Why should we add unconstitutional, discriminatory indicators when insurance companies already have all of the tools that they need in setting your rates? Why give insurance companies shortcuts? They are using the indicators they should be to set rates more equally and fairly in Montana. And I would also say that we're all independent individuals. We're all independent thinkers. I think our rates should be set that way. We should be rated on actual indicators based on all the other data that can already be utilized to determine your rate, what your rate should be. Again, I think this is taking Montana backwards. And, you know, I think insurance companies argue that this will make auto insurance cheaper for women. What's the offset? More expensive for everyone else? I don't think that's fair either. Why should anyone else be penalized for their gender when they are good drivers? This is unnecessary. I don't believe it will result in major premium shifts like we've been hearing from the proponents. And not only does this bill allow insurance companies to discriminate based on gender, but it also allows them to discriminate based on their marital status, as we heard. So if you're happily married, your insurance may go down. If you're single or divorced, your rates may go up. So I guess what happens if you're unhappily married? Who's going to figure that out? We see companies using gadgets now, too. We see companies tracking driving habits to rate your driving based on you specifically as an individual. That seems to make a lot more sense than just using characteristics without outside of your control. So I guess I would say this to close, that other states are now shifting away from gender rate setting, more than three decades after Montana set the example. California just recently shifted away from using gender for auto insurance. And why does this matter? When the largest population state starts shifting away from gender, the giant pool changes for insurance companies. We've heard that several times throughout this session. Heard it on a bill of mine that was used to kill a bill of mine. This means that the companies are just going to adjust their rates for all of us anyways. You know, I think we're going backwards with this bill. We're erasing Montana's historic example to the nation, and we're doing it to help insurance companies just to get a supposed win. This does not help Montanans. I ask you to vote red.
Senator Howard.
Just on a little bit of a lighter side, I have a conflict of interest. I have six daughters. Please vote green.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, Montana has gotten this wrong for a long time. This is a good bill. We should be basing policy decisions on facts, not on what feels good or what we think feels good. If you look at the bill, it states right on line 13, you may not discriminate solely on the basis of sex or marital status. Not sure how clear that can get. We are hurting Montana small business owners right now, particularly those who sell life insurance. I know a number of people who drive over the state of Washington, create a trust, and these are female individuals, because they can buy life insurance cheaper in the state of Washington. It's a fact. Because females live longer than males. So their life insurance should be less expensive. So it's facts matter when we're setting insurance rates, and they need to look at all the different facts and the materials, driving history, how long you live, what your health status is, everything that goes into different ratings for insurance. This is a good bill, and encourage a yes vote.
Seeing no other discussion, Senator Fitzpatrick, would you care to close?
I would, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple points. This bill is supported by the state auditor. He thought this was an important bill for bringing insurance rates down. And I think Senator Hertz had a good point. Facts do matter. And the fact of the matter is that men between the age of 18 and 35 are more dangerous drivers statistically than women of the same age. They are more likely to get in accidents and more likely to have losses that need to be compensated by insurance. And quite frankly, it's unfair to penalize other people for that, you know, statistical fact. So this is a good bill. This is about making insurance more affordable. And like I said, this is a cost of living issue. It's getting more expensive every day to live in the state of Montana. Our housing prices have gone through the roof. We have numerous things that make it harder to live in the state of Montana. If we can give somebody a break, it may not seem like a lot of money to the people in this room, but a couple hundred dollars on insurance, I think that makes Montana a better place to live. There's no reason to pay hundreds of dollars in excess insurance costs for a risk that you don't actually represent. I mean, that's really what this is about. It's about setting a rate for a risk that you represent. If you are not going to result in that risk, there's no reason for you to pay more in insurance. And the final point I'd like to make is this is not a tool to raise insurance prices. Auto insurance and life insurance is very competitive. This will drive down rates. It'll make insurance more competitive, and people will get a better break on their insurance. So I'd ask you to support the bill.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 379, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, with Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 31 senators voting aye and 19 senators voting nay.
With 31 senators voting aye and 19 voting no, House Bill 379 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 336. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 336, introduced by Friedel, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to driver's license renewals, extending the license renewal period to 1 year past the expiration date, extending the length of the time a driver's license is valid from 8 to 12 years, authorizing renewal applicants on active military duty to renew a license by mail or online as long as the applicant is on active duty, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title? The bill is read.
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 336. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 336, that it does recommend the same do pass.
Senator Friedel.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is a pretty simple bill. What it does is it about four key points. The first one is it does extend the state license renewal. Now, I'm going to say state license because it does not affect real IDs. It extends them from 8 years to 12 years. It also extends the app to apply for a renewal up to a year after expiration. So that was 3 months. Now it's 1 year. It also allows to renew licenses every other time, either online or by mail. And then last one, it also allows military that are stationed outside of Montana that are on active duty to renew online as long as they're active duty. Now, I do want to make a note to the fiscal note that it shows that there is an actual an influx. Mainly what this is going to do is it's going to allow us to stretch our resources to the point where it's not inundating the DMV when it has to. I don't know if last time anybody's ever gone to the DMV. You know, you're waiting in line a long time. So what this is going to do is it's going to stretch out a resource. It's going to make it a little easier so we don't have to hire more FTEs. We don't have to incur more and more on this. So with that, I will sit down and wait for any questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I read this bill right, this also pertains to military spouses. If they're stationed outside Montana, they can renew by mail.
Senator, is that a question to the sponsor?
For the sponsor, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Friedel, do you yield?
I do.
Go ahead, Senator.
I believe that is allowed, but if I remember correctly, on page 3, line 21, a renewal who is stationed outside of Montana on active duty may renew the license by mail or online as long as their applicant is on active duty. If you look at line 23F, the spouse or dependent of renewal applicant who is stationed outside on an active military duty may renew the applicant license by mail or online as well. So you are correct, Senator Ankeny.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Just speaking to the bill, it looks like it's age discriminatory to me. I can still only get a 4-year driver's license.
Senator Keenan.
That took care of it.
That took care of it. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Friedel, would you care to close?
Yes, Chairman. All I can ask for is go green. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Friedel that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 336, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, Senate Bill 336 has passed. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 306. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 306, introduced by Funk, a bill for an act entitled an act revising exemptions to Public Service Commission regulations of motor carriers, providing an exemption for certain types of recreational and tourism transportation, providing rulemaking authority, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 306. What is your pleasure? Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 306, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, this bill is brought to you from Representative Funk. She was in a conversation with a gentleman who had just started a new business shuttling people to and from trailheads and taking them on a little brewery and in historic tours. And she'd ask him how the business was doing. And he said, you know, well, I got to tell you about the unfortunate hoops that he had to, you know, jump through to get this business up and running. To make a long, painful, and expensive story short, he had done his due diligence, thought he had all the many permits that were needed and authorities that he needed. And 2 months into his business, which was going very well, someone complained to the PSC about him saying that he was operating illegally. He had all the necessary paperwork that the PSC requested and presented it to them. Unfortunately, the PSC required him to put a notice on his business in every major newspaper so anyone could file a complaint if they had one. The only thing they could complain about, though, was that if he didn't have proper insurance. And that's the only thing that the PSC actually has any coverage over, on these small groups. He ended up having to shut down his business for 6 to 7 weeks during the prime season. Even the PSC lawyer said he shouldn't have had to do all this, but because there was no exemptions in law, they couldn't do anything about it. Currently, the PSC regulates utilities and public transports. These bus shuttles and small-scale tours are neither and should be exempted, and that is what House Bill 306 does. The bill just adds to the exemption in 6912-102 that the transportation of motor vehicle of not more than 15 people providing these small-scale recreational tours should be included in those exemptions. The commission may still require proof of insurance, and the bill provides the commission rulemaking authority. Let's pass this bill to encourage streamlining the process and doing away with unnecessary paperwork so these small-scale recreational shuttle buses can provide a service for a much-needed boost to our tourism business in Montana. Please vote yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Boland, do you care to close on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I close.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Boland that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 306, that it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, with Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 45 senators voting aye and 5 senators voting nay.
With 45 senators voting aye and 5 voting no, House Bill 306 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 176. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 176, introduced by Grief, a bill for an act entitled an act revising late voter registration, closing late voter registration at noon the day before the election, providing an exemption so military and overseas electors may continue to register through the day of the election, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 176. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 176, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, Mr. Chairman, there's a few times I think in all of our lives that as we think back, we feel pretty good about, maybe we feel really proud about. This is one of the bills that I feel proud about carrying. It's one of the election integrity bills championed by Secretary of State Christy Jacobson. And Mr. Chairman, I might refer back, I mentioned if I might just reflect back in my life, and I wonder how many people remember these names: Forrest Anderson, Tim Babcock, Richard Nixon, Hubert Humphrey, George Wallace. You know, I remember those, and I remember them because I was proud as heck. I voted for the first time. I turned 21, and I voted back in a long time ago. Whenever. No, that was my first election, and that was in 1968. Forrest Anderson, Democrat, defeated Tim Babcock. Richard Nixon, 50.6%. I don't remember that. I had to look it up. Hubert Humphrey, 41.6%. George Wallace. Remember George Wallace? Healthy, vigorous guy, later on was shot and paralyzed. Picked up 7% of the vote that year. I'm proud. I was proud then. I went down and got myself registered. And I went down and voted. Now, House Bill 176 sets the registration date. And just as I did back in 1968, I had to go down and get registered prior to being able to vote. And I was so proud to do that. We're blessed to have the right to vote. We also need to accept the responsibility for that right. Elections, you know, they don't just pop out of the blue. They don't come along and surprise us. We know they're coming. The dates are there. We need to register ahead of time. As of right now, this bill says it started out as the Friday previous. And I believe it says that in the title, but it's been amended to be the Monday previous to the Tuesday election. Many states require an average of 15 days ahead of the election. So I'm proud to sponsor or to carry this bill on this floor today. And Mr. Chairman, I'll stop there and listen to the conversation, answer questions as I can. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to speak on the bill.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, I rise in opposition to this bill. As elected officials, we are here to do the people's work. I think one of the most important things that we do up here is ensure that Montanans have a say in how their government functions. To me, that is what makes this bill totally problematic. In 2005, same-day voter registration was supported almost unanimously by a bipartisan group of legislators. Since then, multiple challenges have been raised, and all of them have failed. But perhaps the most compelling reason you should vote no on House Bill 176 is that Montana voters were able to weigh in directly on this issue when it was on the ballot as Legislative Referendum 126 in 2004. And what were the results of that? In 2004, Montanans voted down LR 126 by 57%. 41 out of our 50 Senate districts voted against this measure. And this was Montanans all across the state, in rural and urban districts, in red and blue districts, in every geographic region in the state. This is a very popular provision that we have in law. It's not often that we see legislation that Montanans have had an opportunity to vote on. Let's not forget about our responsibility to our constituents. And to be honest, I think, based on sitting through the committee hearing, we have heard very little evidence and support for this bill. I'm asking you to please vote no on House Bill 176.
Senator Fox.
Mr. Chairman, speak to the bill.
Go ahead.
I oppose House Bill 176. Some of the folks who it affects, you know, maybe deny the right to vote, will be disabled veterans, elderly, and rural residents. Veterans are disabled through combat and non-combat related training incidents at a lot higher rate than the average general public. And as they age, many times they have to rely on family and friends to get them to polling places where they can register and vote. And unfortunately, many times this happens at the last minute. And so this is why the same day registration and voting is so important. This bill will take away the fundamental right that our nation has fought for, and I urge that we vote red on this. Thank you.
Senator Weber.
Mr. Chair, speak to the bill.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and body, I see House Bill 176. It's, you know, to me, as a native Montanan, it's another voter suppression bill. In every session, Native American voters have seen their right to vote infringed upon by this body. We have added voter ID requirements, restricted ballot collection efforts in any communities, reduced mail-in voting and early voting locations, and now we're eliminating same-day registration. The reservations, for the most part, are rural. It's hard for people to take multiple trips into town or to the county seat to register. Sometimes it's 50 to 60 miles one way just to exercise their right to vote. And even with everything this body has done to suppress the Native vote, Natives are taking their place in the politics of Montana. We're here. I think House Bill 176 is disingenuous. It does only one thing. This further suppresses the Montana Indian vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the body. I rise in strong opposition to this shameful attack on the constitutional right to vote of all Montanans. You know, Election Day registration has been the fail-safe for our democracy since it was first voted in on a bipartisan vote back in 2005. It has ensured that no matter who you are, how you vote, or who you vote for, every eligible Montanan has been able to cast a ballot. And we're not just talking about a handful of people that have been able to use this vital service. We're talking about over 60,000 Montanans who've utilized Election Day registration and have had their voices heard because of it. And the people of Montana, as you heard from the good senator from Helena, rejected this idea just 6 years ago by a heavy margin, and they rejected it for some meaningful reasons, because it's going to leave a lot of voters out in the cold. We're talking about the single mom, the single dad who's trying to balance multiple jobs and childcare, people that need to be able to get in there and have their voices heard and be able to register and vote at the same time. You know, I think that the good senator from the eastern side of the state spoke about some of our veterans who are coming home from foreign deployment, you know, people who rely on this service to be able to get registered and have their voices heard. We're talking about rural voters who are trying to avoid those multiple 100-mile-plus trips to the county courthouse. You know, and we're also talking about the people who've done nothing wrong, the people who go to the DMV, fill out a voter registration form, and assume that that person's going to turn it in for them at the right time. But if they don't, 30 days before Election Day, that person's going to be left off. The same thing is true if somebody, because of a computer glitch, gets removed from the voter rolls, from the My Voter system. These are people who have done nothing wrong, but because of that, they're going to get kicked off the system. And your vote today will ensure that those people who did everything right because of computer glitch are going to lose their constitutional right to vote. You know, just because somebody else is dropping the ball does not mean that Montana voters should be left in the cold. But why is the bigger question on this? Why do we want to pass a bill like this? Well, the sponsor really didn't give you any reasons. You know, listed a series of people that he voted for in the past and said that voting is good. I agree that voting is good. This bill tries to steal that away. There is no problem to be solved. There is no issue to be resolved. This is a program that works and has ensured that every single Montanan has their voice heard. This is voter suppression at its absolute worst, and it will be a sad, sad day in Montana when this bill is signed into law.
Seeing no other discussion, Senator Cupp, do you care to close on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to close. And I guess one of the opponents said I should be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. We're not trying. There's no intention of suppressing anyone's right to vote. You know, there's a day when is voting day, and your vote must be cast prior to or on that day. The changes proposed will make Montana voting system more robust, ensures every legitimate vote, every legitimate voter is counted. House Bill 176 isn't telling voters they must register on just any one day before the election. They can register long before. They can cast their ballot. They can go down and register and cast their ballot a month ahead of time. A month ahead of time. They can do it all on one trip if they choose. If the trip is difficult, if whatever the reason is, they can vote, register and vote up to a month ahead of time. The intent of 176 is to provide a solution for citizens discouraged from registering to vote and casting a ballot due to long lines and extended wait times. This makes the process more efficient for the benefit of all Montanans, and it will reduce the opportunity for mistakes. Currently, a person is allowed to register on election day anytime as long as the polls are open. We all know the polls are scheduled to close at 8 p.m. on election day. We also know that if you happen to be in line waiting to vote at 8 p.m., you will be allowed to vote even after 8 p.m. until the line is gone. Which also means that if you are in line to register to vote at 8 p.m., you are allowed to continue until you get registered, and then whatever time it is, you can go over and get into line to vote in the voting line, which means you're voting possibly well after the 8 p.m. close. And I've heard in some areas this sometimes extends out pretty late, which makes a definite extra burden on the folks who are conducting the election. Number one, they're splitting their energies and their attentions between registering people to vote and trying to make sure that the voting day is conducted in the good, honest, square, efficient center that typically happens. But it adds a pretty good burden. because now they have to split their attention and their time between two different functions. I think this bill makes a lot of sense. No, I'm not ashamed to carry it. I'm proud to carry it. I think it deserves a green light, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 176, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 32 senators voting aye and 18 senators voting nay.
With 32 senators voting aye and 18 voted no, House Bill 176 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 242. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 242, introduced by Hinkle, a bill for an act entitled Act establishing a muzzleloader heritage hunt for deer and elk, restricting use of certain equipment, revising rulemaking authority, providing penalties, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to history and title the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 242. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 242, that I recommend the same be concurred in. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, let's roll back in time a little bit here in Montana history. Today I bring you the Montana Heritage Hunt. Pages 8 and 9 are where the code changes are, but believe it or not, Montana is the only state that does not have a separate muzzleloader season in some form. Even Hawaii has a muzzleloader season. This bill has two intentions. First, it's to promote Montana's historical muzzleloader heritage. This bill is entitled the Montana Heritage Hunt for a reason, as the season is only for traditional muzzleloaders, not the scoped inline models that you can currently buy that are primed from the breech and are capable of shooting over 200 yards. In the spirit of Montana's history, the muzzleloaders that are allowed in this bill are traditional muzzleloaders: percussion, flintlock, wheel lock, matchlock, and muskets. The second reason to establish this hunt is to separate out the competition between the scoped rifles, which many people that I've witnessed have shot game at over 800 yards. However, with a traditional open sight muzzleloader, you must often be within 17 yards to be accurate on your target. The Heritage Hunt will be established on a short 9-day season on the second Saturday after rifle season ends. This will allow a short season to be post-deer rut. The sponsor worked with FWP to amend the bill that adopted rulemaking authority. They also talked to the department about the dates, and they concluded that yes, these were the best dates that do not interfere with either rifle or bow hunting or the rut. So if you just look on pages 8 and 9, on page 8, starting on line 8, that just designates when the season is and what type of muzzleloader you can use. And then cross the page over on page 9, line 12, that tells you the traditional muzzleloaders that you cannot use. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would request a due pass. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a very reluctant no on this bill. And this is just, Groundhog's Day again. Here we are dictating seasons and weaponry to our Fish and Game Commission. We've charged them with doing this. They have the authority to do this. It's well within their scope to do this. And once again, we're going to put into code, in a Montana code annotated, exactly which seasons, which dates, what types of weapons could be used for taking game when they already have that ability. They have the data, they have the process and the information gathering and the biologists, and So whether or not this may be or may not be the best date, putting this in code is the wrong way to go. Vote no.
Seeing no other discussion on the bill, Senator Hertz, would you care to close?
Yes, members of the committee. The commission has not done their job in this. The sponsor of the bill knows a number of individuals who have approached the commission over time, and the commission has refused to deal with that. Just like we do here in this legislative body, dealing with a number of different departments, at times we have to, unfortunately, pass legislation, inform them as to what the citizens of Montana want. We have the authority to establish special commemorations that celebrate the history of Montana, whether it be memorials, holidays, or in this case, a heritage hunt for the people of Montana. I'd request the green light. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 242, it recommends same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 32 senators voting aye and 18 senators voting nay.
With 32 senators voting aye and 18 voted no, House Bill 242 has been concurred in. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 310. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 310, introduced by Buckley, a bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising Sexual Assault Reporting Laws, allowing a sexual assault victim the right to know the status of the victim's evidence kit, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 310. What is your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 310, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sands.
Members of the body, this builds on the excellent work we've done the last few sessions having to do with sexual assault kits and the testing of those. You'll remember that we did quite a bit of work with former Attorney General around this topic and around the issue of victims' rights, victims of sexual assault. This bill does one thing. If you look at line 22, it adds to the list of rights that the victim has, the survivor of sexual assault has, to about authority to be able to talk with a law enforcement agency and get information related to their case. Currently, they can, because it's in statute, find out what the current status of their case is, find out whether their case has been submitted to a prosecuting attorney or not, find out if the case has been closed. Many kinds of services such as that and legal rights are protected now by this statute. To this statute, we have added one thing, which is that the survivor of sexual assault has a right to know the current status of the sexual assault evidence kit. This is a kit of bodily fluids, all kinds of materials that are collected after a sexual assault. It is a very painful and disturbing process to collect this information. We know that previously a number of these kits were then left just sitting on the shelves until we took action a couple of sessions ago with the Attorney General to get those kits tested and processed. What this bill says is that that survivor of sexual assault has the right to be able to know what the status of that kit is in terms of their prosecution of their case. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll sit for questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Sands, would you care to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 310, that it recommends same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, with Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, House Bill 310 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 293. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 293, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to providing for the Uniform Trust Decanting Act, establishing the scope of the act requiring decanting power to be used in accordance with fiduciary duties establishing which trusts are governed by the act, requiring notice when exercising the decanting power, specifying how much notice works, providing for judicial involvement, requiring the decanting power to be made in a signed record, providing requirements for the signed record, providing for decanting in cases of expanded and limited distributive discretion, and for trusts for beneficiaries with disabilities, and for trusts for care of animals, protecting charitable interests, providing limitations on decanting, limiting changes in an authorized fiduciary's compensation, limiting use of decanting power for relief from liability or indemnification, limiting liability for certain trustees and other persons, limiting use of decanting power to modify grants of power to remove or replace a fiduciary, providing tax-related limitations, providing for durations of second trust, allowing use of decanting power whether or not a first trust discretionary distribution standard could compel a distribution of principal, providing for determination of a settler's intent, and providing for latter discovered property.
Are there any corrections to history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 32.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 293. What is your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 293, I recommend that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sands.
That was a remarkable reading. Thank you. Well, this is the last of several bills I think we've seen this session that have to do with the Uniform Trust Act. When I first heard about this bill, I was completely befuddled by the issue of decanting. I hang around. We all read a lot of law bills. I had never heard of the term decanting. So I found it quite interesting that this is the shorthand that they use in the trust world to talk about the moving of assets from an old trust into a new trust, in the way you would decant wine. So that's where the term decanting comes from. The Uniform Law Commission that works on uniform trust issues in 2015 proposed this Uniform Trust Decanting Act. And what it does is permits a trustee to modify an existing or an old irrevocable trust without really the expense of going through a court action to seek court approval to move it into a new trust. And that hence the decanting. There are four things that this act generally provides for. First of all, certainty. Montana doesn't currently have a law that permits, prohibits, or limits trust decanting, which does happen. So this provides statutory rule for that. Secondly, this act provides appropriate limits on trustees' abilities to decant, to move things from one trust to another. It has a set of rules that has limited discretion in some areas and more lenient rules in other areas as applies to specific needs. Third, it protects beneficiaries. The trust must notify trust beneficiaries at least 60 days prior to a proposed decanting. If the beneficiary believes the trustee is proposing a trust modification beyond the applicable set of rules, the beneficiary may object and bring a court action. Furthermore, the beneficiary's vested trust interest cannot be reduced or eliminated. And fourth, the Act permits a relatively inexpensive way to achieve a trust modification. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will sit. And if there are questions, I'm sure the co-sponsor of this bill, Senator Fitzpatrick, would be glad to answer them.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Sands, would you care to close?
Mr. Chair, I close.
OK, Okay, Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 293, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 293 has been concurred in. I hope no one objects to moving House Bill 223 to the bottom of the board. Okay. House Bill 223 will be at the bottom. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 326. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 326, introduced by Lang, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to providing for special taxes or assessments by resolution for irrigation district improvements, providing notice of special taxes or assessments, providing a right to protest special taxes or assessments, providing for hearings on resolutions to levy special taxes and assessments, repealing certain district court requirements, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 19.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 326. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does write a report after having under consideration Senate Bill 329, that recommends the same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Senate Bill 326, if you pull out the piece of paper that was on your desk, it's got a bunch of arrows on it on the left-hand side, that talks about the bill. Just for clarification, in Section 1, when we talk about a board of commissions, that is an elected board of an irrigation district. That'll be throughout the bill. What we're trying to do here is there's a process of resolution and petition. When a board decides to spend some of the irrigator's money, now that board is elected, there's a process where they can protest it. If there's a big percentage of the people object to the process, then there's another process that the objectors come back in and protest. We don't like this, and then there's a 60-day waiting period where the board can't function and move against the money they've tried to bond. And there can be an election. The board can say, we want to have an election. Or they can go ahead and say they want to do it through a resolution. And in the back page, we've taken out a bunch of these kind of redundant things to take it away from district court, because most of you probably don't live in an area that district court knows a lot about water law and irrigation districts. So it's basically being done through resolution, through voting, and through petitions. So I'll leave it at that and wait for stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chairman, the sponsor yields for question.
Senator Lang, do you yield?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, what kind of problem here are you trying to fix? I guess I'm a little confused.
The process of one of the big problems is maybe in your area, but with urbanization, you have irrigation districts now, and then somebody went out there and went to a subdivision. So now you've got 100 acres that used to be owned by one person, and now those are in 5 or 20-acre lots. And so the water, those people don't normally, when you send out a letter saying you got to vote on this, they don't really respond. So this way the commissioner of the irrigation district could say, hey, this is a resolution, publish it in all the papers, this is what we're doing, and please accept, or if you want to, get all those people together and protest, you can. But it's just keeping the water running on an agricultural point versus urbanization that we're having.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, Senator Lang, do you care to close on your bill?
Thank you very much. I was thought maybe the senator that wanted the question was going to ask me if water ran downhill, but I know it does do that, Senator, at least. This is a good bill. This is a needed to keep the irrigation compliant, but yet the big part of this you'll see is nobody's getting off the hook. If you don't like what they do, there's a way for you, present law, to go under and object, and a protest period can be, and they can't spend any money during that time, and then the protests can be taken care of, and the bonding either passed or failed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Lange that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 326, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote. Senator Glimm. Is gone for now. Let's go without.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 49 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 49 senators voting aye, Senate Bill 326 has passed. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 438. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 438, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled an act revising commercial driver's licensing laws, clarifying waiver of the skills test, knowledge test, or both for certain military experience, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 438. What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvery?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 438, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, this bill simply waives the skills tests for those who have been honorably discharged and have the skills and experience detailed in sections 3, 4, and 5. It waives the test that they would normally be required to get a CDL. So as long as they have not had any convictions or driving offenses related to moving violations, then this bill waives that they have to get a CDL in the state of Montana. And that's all it does. All the details of it are in, really the whole guts of it are in line 24 through 27 on page 2, and then the specific details are in the next couple pages. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for any question, and then...
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator McGilvery, would you care to close?
I close.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvery that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 438, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote. Senator Manzella.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 49 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 49 senators voting aye, House Bill 438 has been concurred in. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Joint 10. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
HJR 10, introduced by Logie, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the state of Montana requesting an interim study to assess and prepare for the operation of autonomous vehicles on Montana roadways and requiring the final results of the study to be reported to the 68th legislature.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Joint Resolution 10. What is your pleasure, Senator Vance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Joint Resolution 10, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the representative in the House brought this resolution only so that both bodies would be made aware of the fact that they may not be here yet, but autonomous vehicles are coming, and we think we should start to prepare for that. I ask for agreeing.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Vance, would you care to close? Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Vance. And when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Joint Resolution 10, it recommend the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, House Joint Resolution 10 has been adopted.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 223. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 223, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled an act creating a statutory duty for public safety officers to arrest individuals already in custody who are the subject of immigration detainer requests.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now before you for your consideration, House Bill 223. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Mr. President, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 223, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. President.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, House Bill 223 is necessary to address a 2020 decision by the Montana Supreme Court in Ramon versus Short. The court ruled that public safety officers effectuate an arrest when they honor a detainer presented by Immigration and Custom Enforcement, that's ICE, officers employed by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. The court further ruled that there is no state law that authorizes a civil immigration arrest by a public safety officer in response to a federal detainer request. Section 1 of the bill both creates statutory arrest authority for public safety officers presented with detainer requests from ICE, and it requires that they honor the request. ICE and its predecessors, INS, have utilized detainer requests for years. In Section 1, it specifies detainers apply to persons already in custody. That's important. Persons already in custody. Typically, they're in a county jail. ICE issues detainers when it learns that a person in custody of a state or local agency is a removable alien. The detainer requests that the public officer hold the removable alien for up to 48 hours, excluding weekends and holidays, past the time the person would otherwise be released from custody. ICE takes custody of the person subject to the detainer within the 48 hours and is required to do so. INS and ICE have presented public safety officers with many detainer requests over the years. Until the Supreme Court's ruling, there was no controversy about holding removable aliens for 48 hours to facilitate enforcement of the federal immigration laws. The bill's sponsor recalls no time during his 8 years he served as United States Attorney in which controversy occurred in Montana as a result of an ICE detainer request. Detainers have long been a part of the law enforcement landscape in the state. This bill ensures that Montana will continue to assist federal immigration authorities when removable aliens are in state or local custody due to other criminal charges. Opponents will claim that the mandatory arrest authority will subject the counties to litigation risk. In the committee hearings on the bill in the House and Senate, even though detainers have been used for many years, opponents have been unable to show that local governments in Montana have been sued and paid damages due to a detainer honored by Montana public safety officers. It appears that the county's insurer paid some amount of money after the Supreme Court ruling in Ramon last year. But that is likely because the court concluded there was no arrest authority under state law. This bill, House Bill 223, fixes that issue. The bill makes clear that a public safety officer need not detain a person subject to a detainer if there is credible evidence that the person is a U.S. citizen or is otherwise lawfully in the U.S., consistent with federal law. The bill would preclude a public safety officer from detaining a person for more than 48 hours, past the time the person would have otherwise been released from custody. Mr. President.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to rise in opposition to this bill for a couple different reasons, and the sponsor was kind enough to bring up a couple of them early on. This is a bill about requiring Montana law enforcement to take orders from the federal government to detain people for up to 48 hours with no requirement of a warrant, of a court order, or any sort of criminal infraction. And when we take these people into our detention facilities, when we take them into, in our detention, Montana becomes liable for all of the things that happen because of that. So in other cities where they've had this law on the books for a while, they've had to pay out, because of wrongful detention, somewhere between $15,000 to $350,000 in settlements when people were wrongfully detained. So this is a bill about Montana being forced to do the job of the federal government and taking all their liability at the same time. That's going to cost our taxpayers a whole bunch of money. So for that reason, I hope that you'll vote no.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question for the sponsor.
Senator Aguirre, do you yield?
I yield.
Senator Ankeny.
Mr. President, Senator, was that Ramon case, did that have to do with Highway Patrol and in the Billings area?
Mr. President, Senator, I'm not up on the details of it, but it was in the Billings area. I know that.
Thank you. Follow-up, Mr. President.
Senator Aguirre, can you yield?
I do.
Senator Ankeny.
Mr. President, without this immigration detainer request from the federal government, they wouldn't be stopping people just out of the blue. They have to have one of these retainer request, right?
Mr. President, Senator, I believe so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Senator Aguirre, would you care to close?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. This is a matter of public safety. You know, it's riskier for bystanders, for even the targeted individual, or for federal officers if ICE is forced to go into a community to apprehend the individual rather than just have a transfer of custody in a secure environment of a detention facility. Vote green.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Aguirre that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 223, it recommend the same to be concurred in. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Senator Ankeny, Senator Hoven. Senator Ankeny. Secretary, record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, nay by proxy, we have 29 senators voting aye and 21 senators voting nay.
29 senators haven't voted aye and 20 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 223 is passed second reading. Majority Leader Smith.
Committee rise and report.
Heard the motion, Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Motion carries. Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows.
Senate Bill 326 and 336 do pass. Senate Resolution 153 passes amended. Senate Resolutions 87 and 89 adopted. House Bills 139, 176, 195, 223, 226, 242, 293, 306, 310, 379, 438, 446, and House Joint Resolution 10 be concurred in.
Senator Regeer.
I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Regeer that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary records the vote. Senator Heimbaugh. Oops.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
33 senators haven't voted aye, and 16 senators haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Regeer. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 13 is by dueling, a bill for an act entitled State Employee Pay Plan.
House Bill 13, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Senator McGilvery, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 13 have voted no.
36 senators haven't voted aye, 13 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 13 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 157, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Alcohol Laws for Licensing Brewery Shared Space.
House Bill 157, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes, 7 have voted no.
42 senators haven't voted aye, and 7 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 157 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 217, introduced by Buttrey, a bill for an act entitled Provide for Licensure of Genetic Counselors.
House Bill 217, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 26 have voted yes, 23 have voted no.
26 senators haven't voted aye, and 23 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 217 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 218, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled Revised Campus Free Speech Laws.
House Bill 218, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 218 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 243, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Laws Related to Law Enforcement Officers.
House Bill 243, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote. Senator Wilbur.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 243 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 305, introduced by Burgley, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Laws Related to Roadside Menageries, Wildlife Sanctuaries, Zoos.
House Bill 305, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 13 have voted no.
36 senators haven't voted aye, and 13 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 305 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 383, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Regarding Three-Wheeled Motorcycles.
House Bill 383, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 3 have voted no.
With 46 senators haven't voted aye, and 3 senators haven't voted no, House Bill 383 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 437, introduced by Keene, a bill for an act entitled Repeal the Board of Research and Commercialization Technology.
House Bill 437, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
With 49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no, House Bill 437 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 566, introduced by Welch, a bill for an act entitled Revised Guarantor Exoneration Law.
House Bill 566, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member change his or vote? Senator Bryan. Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 566 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 594, introduced by Reed, a bill for an act entitled Exempt DNRC Grants from Environmental Review.
House Bill 594, I haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes, 7 have voted no.
42 senators haven't voted aye, and 7 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 594 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Joint Resolution 17, introduced by Marler, a bill for an act entitled Declare Noxious Weed Awareness Week.
House Joint Resolution 17. I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes, 7 have voted no.
42 senators have voted aye, and 7 senators have voted no. House Joint Resolution 17 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move to refer Senate Bill 336, short title, General Revised Driver's License Laws, sponsor Senator Friedel. Refer it to finance and claims. It exceeds the agreed upon amount.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, may I please change my vote on House Bill 176 from a no to a yes? It will not change the outcome. And in honor of the fact that today is my 74th birthday, I will kick $74 into the pot.
Without objection, so ordered. I was wondering about that one, Senator Sands.
Yeah.
All right. Seeing no further motions, we'll go to order business number 12 without objection. Announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, four bills. 8 o'clock.
Senator Hovind.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will meet tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Fish and Game will meet at 320, room 303.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government Wednesday, 3 o'clock, two bills.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Business and Labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Highways and Transportation today, room 405. Upon adjournment, please try to get there as quickly as you can, members.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. President. Energy Telecommunications, 320, 317.
Senator Osmundson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims will meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Agriculture will meet in 3:30.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Off and out for an announcement.
Senator Kerry.
Blood pressure checks tomorrow, 12 to 1 in the ante room. Thank you, Mr. President.
Seeing no further announcements, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m., March 24th, the 58th legislative day.
For the motion of Senator Smith, all those in favor, say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. I Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m., March 24th.
The half-hour rule is now in effect in the Senate. The general public will be let in the Senate chambers at 3:40. Thank you.
Lighten up over there.